Support this podcast at patreon.com/rednews.
Right, hello everyone, it's Red News Podcast 216, and Ben, Nathan, Coggy and Nick have kindly joined. We're going to preview the mag at the end and also go over the last week. So before we go on to the depressing bit, we'll go on to Forrest and then I'll go on to Ben because he was there. Unana's had a good couple of games. I will fault him for the second goal against City, but he's finally looking more confident, making the sort of saves you want him to do. Whether that lasts, I don't know, but he's been a bright spark. I thought, God knows how fucked we'd be without... we're carrying a lot of players... We've got a lot of players out injured. We've got carrying a lot of players who are playing injured. So fair play, Bruno and Casemiro playing last week through injuries. I thought Bruno was chirping away, but he was everywhere. And Rashford part one at Forest, I thought he looked like he wanted to be anywhere else. And I said in the group, it's one of those games where I'd have actually considered taking him off in the first half. I just thought it made me start, like, if you compared his attitude with Woot, who had far less ability and he would just run, you know, down channels and give an energy that even Hoyland, you know, just quite a stark contrast. And then I've had a bit more sympathy than others on this. I really don't like the word when it's been used about hate. Reading the Players' Tribune interview, there's obviously a lot going in. There's all sorts of inferences of going in. That isn't a fart, by the way. That's the cat coming in. But you'd know if I'd have farted. I just don't know. But Arambat, it was strange because... I'll get on to what someone has called Arambat when he came on. He looked like a duck out of water at Forest, but he was asked to play two roles. And he didn't go hiding, he kept coming. And in the midfield role, which we rarely see him, you know, the poor sod doesn't get any minutes, which isn't going to help him. And I know he's not United standard and why we spent all this time chasing him. But he was coming deep for the ball and he didn't go hiding. And it was a hard, you know, like it's bad enough when we ask our squad to do one job. So we actually asked the player to do two. And he was okay. You know, it sort of did his confidence. But I was buzzing, you know, bring on the Scousers so long as we do it. You know, we're still in it. As Nick made the point, if Fulham was bad pre-season, imagine what this season would now look like if we didn't have another few weeks. And that's how desperate the situation is. For City, I actually feel worse, this is Tuesday night, now, than I did immediately after the game. Because after the game, it was sort of, well, yeah, that was that's exactly what we expected and it went a little bit better than we could have expected because we didn't get absolutely tanked. We kept to a plan. Hallelujah, a team kept to a plan. I mean, that's how low bar we are, that we are actually surprised pleasantly that the team can stick to something. But ultimately, I've woken up the last couple of mornings with the right hump that is such... Someone put it to me afterwards, you know, it's a defeatist attitude and I feel that's where I am. You know, like... I had a lot of self-loathing that my reaction was, it could have been a lot worse. And you know, like we got done 3-1 and we were holding on for vast periods. If we'd had a bit more intelligence, a bit more finesse, a bit more know-how, we could have done them on the break. And that is where I'll give Eric some support, is that he watched, or whoever had watched Chelsea, who'd done that. You know, City can be got on the break. They're that confident going forward, they leave gaps. So United adopted that. So with a better team, you have a chance. But we don't have a better team. The squad, you know, the subs bench was stark. The contrast, but just overriding contrast in us and them. And I just thought, I shouldn't feel like, oh, you know, well... I was expecting 4 or 5 and it was only 3. That's just a horrible, and I've hated it. I've hated it, to be honest. And I'm not saying I look forward to Saturday because of God knows what United will get on Saturday. I hated fucking Pep spitting and phlegming his gob off all game. He's a right dirty bastard. And I just hate being second fry and the whole realisation of what we had is gone. And we've known that for years, but I just hate it. And I hope, God knows what it's going to take. You know, we're building off the pitch. Just don't want it to last much longer, really. You know, and I don't want to go to feeling like dread Liverpool in the cup. I want to be backs against the wall one of those days. I don't want to feel dread against Liverpool on April the 7th. I just don't want to feel dread anymore. So it's irked me ever since, really. And I think Wazza in his Wazza-isms just went, it was a less loose shit than the last shit we had. It was like a post-curry shit that has a bit of onions floating, but you say it's a better shit than the last shit. And I think Nick said you couldn't really put it more eloquently than that, could you, Wazza? And I've just felt a bit of sadness. My United mojo is still here, but thank God we're in the FA Cup, but the tie's in 2 weeks, so God knows what we're going to do that day. Anyway, Ben, can you just settle the argument? You were caught on TV. You were not sitting down on TV at Forest.
I definitely wasn't sitting down on TV at Forest. I can settle the argument. I've got photographic evidence to the contrary. The lad next to me was on his feet, and I was stood up.
Was it a good atmosphere?
Yeah, it was. It was good. We were right on the, obviously to get on TV. We were right down on the second row by the corner flag, so it was a good atmosphere. But you know, when you're right at the front, you kind of feel a little bit out of it. Most of the atmosphere is going on behind you, sort of thing. So, but yeah, it was a decent atmosphere. It was a dreadful game, so that didn't really, you know, give you much to. It was just less said the better about the game. But obviously, it was a, you know, those moments at the end are what you go for, really, aren't they? It was a great goon at the end. And it was just, we just had to get through it, didn't we? That's as much as you can say, really.
And what did you make of Sunday?
Well, I think you summed it up, really. I mean, it could have been a lot worse. I think, as a few people said, if you're going to try and find any positive from it, they did keep the shape quite well. There was a plan which seemed to largely be stuck to. There was just a huge gulf in class, wasn't there? And I think it was almost like, I actually watched it with a cousin of mine who's a West Ham fan, and he said, when they scored, he said, oh dear, you made them angry now. And basically said it was like when we used to score against Man United back in the day. You know, you went 1-0 up and it was the worst thing you could do. And there was a kind of inevitability about that they were going to come back eventually. You know, we were just looking at the clock from 20 minutes onwards. And obviously once they got the first, the equaliser was the only one team really going to win it at that stage. Strangely, the third goal annoyed me more than anything because, you know, we'd lost the game already. But it was just such a dreadful goal to give away at the end, wasn't it? Just, you know, what's it, Shane calls him acrobat. It was a dreadful piece of play and just kind of was a final kind of punch in the stomach. But did I expect anything different? No, I really didn't expect we were going to get anything out of it. So, as you say, it's depressing, but we are where we are, isn't it? Just almost relieved to get out of there without conceding 5 or 6 again.
It's a sorry state of affairs. I mean, we're like, What do we do for the next? The thing that, you know, like there's been a lot of stats and a lot of dickhead stats, but Luton have scored more, as many as us, and Everton have let in less. And it, like, there's just a bleakness when you look at the overall. And yeah, there's injuries, you know, like when you hope, when I was dreading Evans going off, A says how the lack of the squad and B how many injuries we've got, which have not helped. But then has the training not helped with the injuries? Every team's had them, but sorry, Ben, I'm mid.
Yeah, it's sad to know that. Yeah, I mean, obviously, there's lots of teams that are getting injuries, aren't they? So I wouldn't be able to put my finger on that, but obviously, it hasn't helped. But it does show the lack of depth for all the money we've spent. We lose a couple of key players, and the second string are just nowhere near good enough, are they? You know, like whether that's down to financial fair play or, you know, just poor recruitment, you know, there's a real issue there. You look at City, they can lose several players, and the, you know, the players that are coming in behind are just as good, and there's no sort of dip in standards. We lose a few players and there's a huge drop off, so what, you know, there's a lot of work obviously to be done with the squad in the next couple of years.
Well, what worries me is, you know, like 115, but we've got to deal with what we've got to deal with, which is us. And yeah, we're constrained because of the idiotic Arnold and Woodward era. We could be very constrained this summer unless we sell a lot of our home ground, which could help with Sancho, Greenwood and even Rashford, which could. But if we don't, you know, like if we're limited in, I struggle to see, again, if we get another injury, how this squad can suddenly revolutionise. You're relying on youngsters who we're already over-relying on. Well, Shane quickly, like he put, we discussed about the manager in our group, and he says, It's Shane's put any manager's going to have a basket case with this squad. Guess the other side of the coin is his signings, assuming they are his rather than imposed them. And then he put keepers grown in confidence or reserve judgment. Hoyland looked promising. Mount, he's just put an emoji, whatever it is, where your just hands are up in the air like, who is he, what is he, where is he? Anthony, big judgment question, gives it looks a bad use of a lot of money. Casemiro, he put as a short-sighted signing, short-term impact but past his peak. Martin has looked good when we had him, obviously the injuries. Then he puts Acrobat, looks like he's been doing spice down Piccadilly Gardens, which we all said was quiet. And then the left back shenanigans are a bit farcical. For me, I'll stand on Casemiro's hill because I think in a well-tuned side, we're not discussing him being done and his legs and his peak because he still offers up front, you know, with his head. And I think a well-run club, people would be purring about Casemiro and he'd be lying in for fucking team of the season. But at United, it's a basket case, so we're all just looking, you know, we're looking all over the pitch where we look fucked, basically. So it's just frustrating, you know, like an anger and a frustration. You think, you don't see that anger and frustration from the side often. In a derby, it was such a weak, you know, not tackles, not. And I get that that will cost you against City because you'll have someone sent off, but we're just meh. Anyway, Nathan, hello, mate.
Hello. Yeah, I agree. I think this week as a whole, the two results sort of sum up how I think that we just are at the moment. I think on the after the last game when we're in the Pev, and you know, we said quite a lot, and I sort of said how we've been winning games, but we've just not been looking convincing at all, and how we you know, we were going to get one again, and you know, we did like last home game. But that's how it felt again. Like Forest felt like mirror image again for that. Like, you know, we played really arguably poorly and we just about scraped it. And it just, it feels like that's all we're capable of doing against anyone that on paper is worse than us. And then we've just got no chance against anyone who is on paper better than us at the moment. Do you know what I mean? So it felt like this week has just basically summed up where we are at the moment, really. With, you know, I think, yeah, Sunday, to be fair to him, like Nick shared something when the teams came out before the game on Sunday. Nick shared that it's like a missing players list or something, do you know what I mean? And like, I think City were just missing Grealish, and literally our list was like off the page. It was crazy, and it wasn't. That's the thing, the people who were on that list were proper first teamers. You could make a decent team out of the people missing on that list. So as much as, you know, it was frustrating, you know, when there is no one that you can bring off the bench and you are struggling and you having to play, like Evans played well, but you know, The fact that we're in a situation where we're having to play Johnny Evans in these games is just shows what situation we're in. And I just think it was, you know, like you say, as horrible as it is, 3-1. But the frustrating thing was, like, I know that I've said it quite a bit in the group, was it felt... Like, I know it's the hope that gets you, and, you know, that first goal came out of nowhere, and I still don't think that, like, you know, gets Rashford off the hook for his current everything. And I don't know if we're going to talk about what he did in the days leading up to it or whatever, but it felt like, not that we were comfortable, because we weren't comfortable whatsoever, but we did have it, like, a couple of other opportunities where on another day we could have got from it, and then it. But on the flip side, they missed some sitters as well, didn't they? So I don't know. It felt shit, obviously, but like you say, it could have been a lot worse.
There's a thing that I don't usually watch, but I saw the viral bit of Clichy and Carragher spit the dog going through the Fulham debacle. And it reminded me and Nathan had a pint after Wolves, and we were shell-shocked because we went in with confidence, and something's been off since Wolves. Something has been off since opening day, and you can't pinpoint the finger, but something wasn't right that night, and it's been consistently teams splitting through, and they showed, you know, how weak. And I've been steadfast, and I still am, you know, give Eric time. Let's see where he is with a better structure. Let's see where we are next winter. But equally, we're 26, 27 games down a season where the problems against Wolves were being identified against Fulham. And it's not like City away, you know, take, sadly, we're that far off, take City out of the equation. It's going, none of, I don't know how we feel about Saturday. I don't feel, you know, the days of waking up thinking we'll beat Everton. But it's like, that's on Eric, you know, that a good manager sorts that problem out. It doesn't matter who the personnel are. You sort gaping holes that teams are running through the middle of you. You know, and that concerns me. And I don't know how we went. I gave Nathan a hug going in against Wolves on the Monday night, fuck Monday football, and then somehow it's gone utter shit since then. And it's like, what happened?
Well, arguably, it's like, we've said it before, like, it was the League Cup final just over a year ago, and it feels like it's been since then. Like, it doesn't feel like we're bad, any. Like, you know, we went over this a few weeks ago, didn't we? But maybe the Barcelona game, but there's not really been any other high points and convincing wins in that time since then.
No.
But it's almost like we won that, and then it's just gone from there.
I feel I'd gone to cog it, like, but, you know, in my, I have to delete the emails off the server thing. I went through one in 2013 where Moyes has got rid of Millerstein, and Millerstein must have just joined Rennes, must have joined Twitter or something. And someone said, who do you think United should be going for? And he went, Gudjon. Well, however you pronounce it, you know, I'm shit with them. But Gudjon. And I just thought, there's a sliding doors moment there. And he was 22 at, I think it was Dortmund or whatever. And you just think, no one listened to him. Anyway, Coggy, how are you, mate?
Yeah, good, thanks. Yeah, I mean, I think everybody said what needed to be said about Forest. You know, I think we created a few chances at the start and, you know, and ended up having to struggle and get that last-minute winner. City. Listen, City are by far the best team in Europe. You know, I don't think they've been beaten at home for 2 years, something like that. And for an hour, we did okay, you know. Ten Hag, I think, has been naive all season with his tactics and some of his substitutions. Yet he got it right on Sunday. You know, we had to defend, and I thought they defended fairly well. I mean, apart from the Haaland one just before half-time, I don't think they missed any sitters in that first hour or so. And had it been for us being a bit wasteful on the final ball, we could have had two or three more chances ourselves. So I think they got it right to a certain extent. But, you know, we were missing, and I know every club has injuries, but we were missing three key players on Sunday in Shaw, Martinez and Hoyland, who would have made hell of a difference to that team and that performance. And it does show how weak we are, or, you know, the squad is, that we just, you know, you miss three key players like that and you struggle. So, you know, I know we go into these games being optimistic and everything, but you've got to be realistic. And, you know, I think a lot of us was thinking this is going to be a 4-0 hammering, let alone anything else. And at least for an hour, I thought we showed a bit of passion, and we stuck to a plan. You know, it went wrong, unfortunately, in the end. But, you know, City are a fucking good team, no, unfortunately.
But Coggy, scars. But, all right, you know, like, unfortunately and hatefully and self-loathingly, we brush that off. But it's how we finish. And maybe my mojo, you know, like, we've got, what is it, 11 games in the league, and hopefully, please, 77, 85, fucking 99 spirit. But I just haven't, it's been kicked out of me that I don't have the confidence. I've got this awful feeling the season's going to meander, you know, like, and God, we need that FA Cup win to take us to April. Do you have confidence that they can, like, Varane was superb. Varane's on a good spell. We're on a few players are on a good spell. Do you have confidence for the remainder of the season?
No, I don't. But, you know, in fairness, you go back to that.
You were supposed to cheer me up then, Coggy.
I've never cheered anybody up in my life. I'm not going to start now, am I? You know, you go back to that first game against Wolves, you know, where we were again shocking and that. I've not gone into any game this season where I felt confident. And I'm not on Saturday, as shit as Everton are. You know, they'll turn up and they'll give us a battle on Saturday. So no, I'm not. But, you know, with Oyland back in the team, we'll be different. Hopefully Shaw will be fit. You know, so, you know, I'm not saying we're going to... Look, we're not going to win a convincing between now and the end of the season because we haven't for like 18 months or whatever it is. But we can win games. But obviously the FA Cup against Liverpool's critical. You know, if we win that, then, you know, we'll look at things a bit more positively. But, I mean, you know, Malassi has been out injured all season. Yet we send Fernandes out on loan, who would be a ready-made replacement if Shaw gets injured. So, you know, it's the mismanagement of the club. But I feel sorry for Ten Hag, because, you know, look what he's had to deal with. You know, he's had to deal with the Ronaldo situation, Santos situation, Greenwood, Rashford not performing this season, all the injuries, you know, loanies that are not good enough, and free transfers, 35-year-old defenders. I mean, it is a shit show, and I do feel sorry for Ten Hag, because I think, you know, with a bit of luck, he could turn out to be very good.
I hope you're right.
Can I just jump in there? Sorry, yeah. You just like saying about the left backs and about Malassi being injured. But the thing that I still don't understand is that we had Reguilon and then sent him back. Yeah. What was that about? It's like, it's not as if he will have kicked off saying he's not getting playing time. Or he knew what role he was coming in as a lone player. And then it's almost as if Shaw got injured, Shaw got fit again. And they were like, oh, we don't need you anymore. Listen. Even though they know that Shaw is always getting injured. Like, what? Like, he looks like he's been playing all right. He's gone back
Brentford.
Like,
yeah.
Surely. Why did we not just keep hold of him?
There will be a book. I don't know. There will be a book written. Or that you could detail the mistakes we have made over repeated managers. You know, since 2013, where you just think Donny van der Beek goes on loan, comes back, plays a pre-season, goes on loan. You know, batshit, Reguilon comes, Sabitzer, you know, with his hair. Then we've got a Rambat who's just... And we chased a Rambat. You know, like, he can't even... That clip, I'm sure, isn't him. You know, that they show at the World Cup where he tracks back about 50 yards to make a sliding tackle to retrieve the ball. That is not the Rambat I've got here. It's like there's an imposter. Anyway, Nick, how are you, mate?
Yeah, I'm all right, cheers. Lots to unpack there, really, isn't there, through there? Because we've had some pretty big topics over the last 7 days or so. I mean, start with Forrest. I mean, I was really pleased to see Mark Robins pop up and score late on to get us through. That was a nice start. I know we've not addressed the Rashford thing yet, but he's a div, isn't he? Like, God, he's a div. I think that's the nicest thing you could say about. I think the thing is with Rashford as well, in his head, I think, and you might think I'm wrong on this, but I think that he thinks that he's almost like proved his point because he scored that goal on Sunday. And for him, it's not about the fact that we're winning. It's the fact that, well, I've done my bit. I scored my goal. And that's kind of like what his mindset is. And that annoys me as well. So he can be my hate of the week.
Oh, don't! I don't. Doesn't anyone think that we're? I get it. And you know, like how out of form. And as I said, I've taken him off with. I thought how poor he was, and not, you know, him not abiding by instructions or not pressing or playing the team at Forest means Bruno, which Nick made the point at Fulham. Bruno then has to cover extra and then push himself more forward, which leaves the gaps. But I do think, like, some of the language we're using for Rashford, I don't agree with. I understand it, but when, and as a fanzine editor, but when we're starting saying our owner hates, then something's really gone amiss with it all, Nick.
Well, yeah, but what do you think's been going wrong? Has it been going right for the last 10 years? No. Not has it. Something is amiss, and he's part of the problem. And, you know, we've all said that we'd sell him in the summer.
Keep
pandering to it. It drives me mad. I thought the City game was weird, really. I tried not to get too negative about it because everything that you read is just really, really negative. And I just thought, yeah, look, I know we're outclassed and everyone knows that we're well better. And, yeah, there was better odds for City to score five goals in the match than it was for us to even win. You know, there's just so much negativity about it. But I thought, and I know again you said about a low bar before, and it is a low bar, don't get me wrong, but it's there was actually that bit of fight. And I worked with three season ticket holders at City, and I said to them, I was like, I know it's bad, but none of us were expecting them to go there and fight. We all thought we were going to keel over and just sort of take a pasting. And, you know, we did put up a bit of a fight, and that was our best effort. And that's what it looks like. And it's quite sad. Yeah, I get that. But it's still our best effort. And, you know, the third goal did annoy me because I felt like, you know, it looked worse than what it was on the scoreline in a way. It made it look worse. But I felt if it got beat 2-1 and the stats were still the same way, I don't think people probably would have been as negative, you know. I think that third goal kind of changed people's mindsets on it. But, I mean, we brought on... You talk about, like, ownership and things as well. It's like we brought on Cavalier, or whatever his name is, and Amari Fawcett, and they bring on a World Cup winner. And I know we brought on Anthony, and, you know, we spent $100 million on him, but it just shows you the way that the difference is in those two clubs at the moment. And, you know, anyone that says that things like the ownership and, you know, the Glazers out the issue and stuff like that, you only need to look at what those benches are like, and regardless of the injuries as well, because you should be able to put out a better team than that. And you said before about the most dynamic, about scoring the same as Luton, and Ten Hag's come out this week and said we've got the most dynamic front three in the league. I get headache about it. I flip-flop on this Ten Hag thing of do I like him, do I not like him, and I think he's a bit of a Wally as well, but at the same time, I quite like him, and it's like, he gives me as many headaches as issues and reasons to like him, so I've no idea where to stand with him. But I think, you know, I did say to you after phone dinner, I was like, you know, it's a bit pre-season friendly-ish and the season's in danger of sort of petering out. But we've got to this point where everything is genuinely on this Liverpool home game, isn't it, in the Cup? And it's Old Trafford's just got to be up for it, hasn't it? Because without that, we're looking at sort of 7 weeks to the end of the season. And it could be really properly miserable, couldn't it, as well, with realistically maybe no Champions League to play for, we'll see. So there are negatives that you can dwell on, but I'd rather focus on some of the positives. Like, for example, we've only lost two games this year, and everyone expected us to get beat away at City. And really, the only worry that we've got is probably the Fulham game, isn't it, really? That's the anomaly of this calendar year so far. So, and I think even with the injuries as well, you know, there is stuff to be positive about. And I think that if we can get, you know, like you say, Hoyland back in the squad, maybe if Shaw is back for the Liverpool game or whatever, I don't see a reason why we can't beat him at home. And I'm going to go out there early and say I think we'll get to the FA Cup semi-final. I think we should be a bit more positive about it. But everything, again, is on that game, isn't it, really, more than anything. But my point I want to make is, with this team, I don't think we can play two games a week. And I know that's a ridiculous thing to say for professional footballers, but we get tired so easily. And you could see it in that game against City, but, you know, it's no coincidence that we were a bit more energetic in the first half. In the second half, everyone looked dead on the feet. I know they were chasing the ball around and chasing shadows, but they should be fit enough to keep up with the game plan. The squad's that thin that we play two games in a week and we'd look dead on our feet. If we just went back to playing one game a week, which we probably were going to be doing for the rest of the season, then I'm hoping that that'll be a positive for us to get more points in the league as well. So I think there's a lot to be
Nick,
to be positive about.
Nick, you've just spent 5 minutes trying to create an air of positives, and I'm sure 80% of it was negatives, and you just said the football team can't play twice in a week. Fuck me, we should be playing three times a week. I will say, we're not even Googling Eric's jackets anymore. That's how much it's bereft us. I will, in that quick aside of the shit show of the last 10 years, I've just had that feeling. Do you remember, because Pogba came into my head, we can't even, like, we'll discuss him on Saturday, I suppose, but do you remember when Pogba said what the United Wi-Fi was so shit that he'd sent an Instagram message that came through after the game that he'd posted before, and him and Jose had the massive row on the training pitch? It's just like, We are the basket case of how not to be a football club for a decade. Nick, let's win. But I just think, like, all we're saying, there's not that many positives at the moment. Maybe it'll change. You know, it pissed me off a bit. Like, we were applauding ourselves by saying, And I know the low bar has been, we haven't done it, but, you know, we were five games unbeaten and we'd won four out of five and, you know, we'd won six out of eight and two of those were Newport. And, you know, it's like, really, if we take a step back, which we'll be allowed to do in two months' time, this is a more of a horror season than I think we're accepting right now, because we're a bit fatigued, even though we haven't played as many games, and we're a bit shell-shocked. And I think it's really poor. Anyone?
Yeah, it's poor. I think the major concern that I have, which I don't think is sustainable, though, is I think any team we play, it doesn't matter who it's against, you could put 11 Red News sellers, old and new, together. And I think they give United a game. It doesn't matter if we're playing City away. We can stay in it for effectively 80 minutes, which is when they went into the lead of that game, which is your hardest fixture of the season. Or you could play Luton at home, you could play Sheffield United, and we all just scraped it against them, didn't we? Christ, and everyone else is making them look like a dog and duck each week. I mean, on a separate note, they need a 5-year ban from the Premier League for being such a disgrace. That's on another note. But I think every team is in a game against us, and again, I expect the same thing from Saturday as well.
Sheffield United at home will be a 1-0 late winner. McTominay coming off the bench. Can I get a hate of the week in early?
Isn't that what I said before? It just feels like that's how it. And I think that proves the point of the goal difference, doesn't it?
Mm.
If we're playing a team that is arguably meant to be worse than us, we only can only capable of scraping it. It is worrying. It is shit. It's terrible.
Well,
we don't look convincing against anyone, do we?
No.
You know, I can't remember the last time there was a truly convincing
voice. West Ham at home.
Well, even that, I mean, yeah, it was fairly comfortable, but West Ham were in a real low effort at the time. I mean, but like you asked Coggy before, are you confident? How can you be confident about any game, really?
Mm.
I mean, you just can't, given the performances we've seen all season, the lack of goals in the side, you can't turn up to any game feeling confident. I mean, I certainly wasn't confident going down to Forest. I was fearing the worst, and that's, you just relieved when we do scrape through games.
The sad fact
is... That's a lie, Ben. After five cans, you were absolutely told them to shut the fuck up when I said I didn't think we were going to win. So that's a lie. You went, we're definitely going to win, Nick. Stop being so negative.
Bizarrely, I was very confident for Forest, and I hope that resumed. I just got, like, there's a... Enough of the negativity, because we've got to try and hype the mag up at the end of this. But it's like
I do agree with Nick. I don't know why, but I think we've got a reasonable chance against.
Really hope you're both, because there's a doom-laden potential this season on multiple levels that could go. I'll get a hate of the week in is United's email earlier where it says seasonal hospitality priority list now open. Become an executive club member to elevate your home game experience. The mere look at the word elevate really wound me up at 1:03 this afternoon, and then it went tickets, but your benefits, tickets to every competitive men's first team home game, including any subsequent cup draws, plus away ticket ballot access in year one. And I just thought, we've debated the away tickets, and you just, like, basically knowing that, you're enticing them with that. And I just thought, read the room, United, please, for once. Right, do you want to have a minute each on like Rashford? I don't know, I'm a bit Ben.
Well, I mean, I think Nick's obviously I think everyone probably agrees that the timing and tone of what he put out last week was ill-judged. And, you know, as you just said about the club more generally, read the room, Marcus. You know, ultimately, with any footballer, there's plenty of players over the years that, you know, we've sort of disliked things that they've done. All that really matters is what they do on the pitch. So I think it's a long way back for him, really. I mean, it's going to take more than scoring a couple of, you know, bangers like he did on Sunday. You know, he's got to be putting in consistent performances with consistently more effort than he's been doing for the rest of the season to sort of win the crowd over. Now, it's not impossible, but it doesn't look likely at this stage. And I think it's quite damning that, like I think Nick said before, probably everybody on this call and most of the people that we would associate with would be happy to see him sold in the summer. And it's quite sad, really, isn't it? You know, he's a local lad, boyhood United fan, all the rest of it.
But as things stand, it looks like it may well end on a sour note. It's difficult to see him turning it round really from here. And, you know, with financial fair play and all the rest of that, it would make sense to cash in. So it wouldn't surprise me if that's what happens.
On a quick thing, watching Foden, I just thought, on many levels, you know, the academy is, Coggy has chats, Coggy goes, the academy is improving, you know, at long last, after like the Paul McGuinness era where the Glazers cut costs, that you cannot miss the likes of Foden, you know, coming through. You've got to back those with hopefully Manu and all that. You've got to get those sort of players, because Foden, you know, is world class, and like, that we've made enough mistakes and mishaps. You cannot let people on your own doorstep look blue, not red anymore. You know, enough of that. Nathan on Rashford?
Yeah, I was quite vocal on it in the group, wasn't I? It really did piss me off, I think. Because I just, like you say, it's like Ben said, read the room, and like reading it, like even like sort of like insinuated that there was like a racist element to it, and that, like, obviously I'm a woke lefty, as you'd call it, but it sometimes saying stuff like that is lazy, and it sort of degrades when that sort of stuff actually happens. And I think, you know, like he said that the way that he was treated about like the Belfast thing and stuff was different compared to other people. It's like, well, no, I don't think it would be, because like, if Maguire was out there getting pissed when he should be in training, the same thing would have been said about him. So I don't think that's something that should have come into it, and that really got me. But I just think, like you say, in general, like, how was he looking at that clip? He will have seen that clip that went round of him and Barkley a few weeks ago. How is he seeing that and not appreciating that people are questioning him? And like, because he, like you say, he's not showing it on the pitch. And I think the fact that he is a local lad and he came through and he's chatting about his mum having to take him on 4 buses and all that, blah blah blah, well, show it on the pitch and prove it. And it's just like, he's not doing it. And like Nick said, like, did he score that goal the other day, which was an amazing goal? Yeah, but he did fuck all else. And does he think that he's done his job? Because like I alluded to before, like, that's we had that chance where he broke through in just before they scored, and like, I'm not saying he would have outbeaten Walker and gone and scored, but we were in a good position and he threw himself to the floor and then they went down the other end and scored. And it's just, he doesn't do enough, and it is sad, because like you say, like, imagine growing up as a United fan and then all that, you know, his hard upbringing, blah blah blah. And he gets it, and he gets what his dream is, and he gets all this money in the world and stuff, and then it's like he's not asked. Like, my brain can't get like, I've used it a few times this week, and so about the comparison to McTominay, and it's just like, he's not world class, you know. He's good. I do think McTominay is good, but you know he's not that top bracket. But you tell him to play, if you would say, right, sorry Scott, you've got to play right back today, he'd do it, and he'd do it with all his heart, because it looks like he gives a shit and he wants to be playing. Rashford is moaning just because he's being played slightly to the left route or slightly in the middle compared to where he wants to be. And it's just like, he needs to have this he has this expectation because he's the highest paid player on the pitch now. You need this expectation. You know, he's being paid the same amount as world class players like Haaland and all sorts. He's getting those sort of same numbers of money, and he's not doing anything to earn it. So, but then the thing that pisses me off is that he sort of turns it round and then has a go at us for questioning him.
Yeah,
and that's bollocks.
For me, there's two sort of issues with Rashford. One is obviously the lack of effort and stuff that you mentioned, but actually, I mean, he just isn't a world class footballer anyway, is he? Take the effort out of it. He's a good player, but I think he's been hyped well above his actual ability. Maybe because of the state the club's been in and this kind of desperation for, you know, something. And he's, you know, there's been flashes of the talent he has. you know, some of the goals and scoring runs he's gone on. But, you know, consistently, he's only had two good seasons, really, last season, and I think it was one where him and Martial might have got 20 goals. I think he's only scored more than 20 goals twice in his career, and he's, what, 26 now. I just think he's a good player, and in a better team, he probably would look a better player. But he, you know, if you're pinning your hopes on him to be your talisman and this, you know, world class player, he just isn't it. Even putting the lack of effort to one side, and I think, you know, the fact that they're giving him that contract just reflects how the club has been run for the last 10 years. And I hope that if we do get this Dan Ashworth in and Berardi, you know, the days of sort of rewarding mediocrity with these huge contracts, which we've done so many times now in the last 10 years, and then you can't offload these players, you know, I hope those days are going to be coming to an end.
Well, like, I try, the older I got, just ignore the noise. I don't, you know, like, things wind me up, and I'm not being defensive. It has pissed me off on the Barkley trip, you know, but I don't care, you know. All I care about, I've never, you know, the role models era is gone. There's the modern footballer's grotesque. You know, all I care about is on the pitch. And you judge it, you know, like, by that second chance, and you think a top quality striker doesn't just, you know, aimlessly head the ball down like that. You know, they're onto it, they've got it. 9 out of 10s, the ball's forward of them, and you know what they're going to do. It's in the net, and that's, you know, on that purely level of get the second goal, and then we're in for a chance. And on Nathan's point, I do, you know, like Arambat knows he's going to be gone in the summer. But he probably knows he's getting a lot of flack. But there's a bloke who came on, had a pretty poor 25, 30 minutes last week at Forest, but didn't go hiding, kept going in the middle of the pitch going, I'll have the ball, I'll try and set up the things. And you think, you know, that's where, and maybe it's unfair of me to pick on Bruno again, but as the captain, you know, like, he was chirping away a bit. It's like that, you know, who are the experienced players? You hope when he scored, you know, there was genuine joy in that team. So, you know, there was genuine light, and you'd think that someone would go, come on. The final point before I go to Coggy is, I don't ever, you know, like, and this has been a bit of a flatter thing that you can't polish a turd. It's like, I never want to say again, you know, at least we didn't down tools like we feared. You know, I never want to say that after. I'm sick of that fucking feeling about this team. Coggy, where, your thoughts?
I think Rashford can only really play in one position, and that's on the left, isn't it? And there's a lot of players out there that are better than him. So I think we've got to sell him in the summer. I think now's the best time. You know, I think if we have another season of him, I think his value will go down. So, you know, if we want to build a team that is capable of competing at the top, then Rashford won't be in it. So I think we've got to sell. That aside, though, you know, there is something wrong, isn't there, with the lad, because he, you know, the going out and getting pissed and doing what he did in Belfast, his attitude and everything, he doesn't look happy. I think there's some underlying things that you know, need addressing, basically. You know, I don't think he's getting the right guidance off the pitch, because it's his family as opposed to outside influences that are advising him. So, you know, I think he needs to have a good look at himself, and hopefully you'll get some sort of advice to put him back and become the proper professional. Which is how he got to where he is now. I mean, he's not had it easy. As any kid, you know, joining a football club at 7, 8 years old to actually make the first team of any Premier League club, you've got to work fucking hard and give a lot of sacrifices. So something's got to miss with him. But ultimately, back to what you said, Barney, it's what happens on the pitch. And if we want to progress and improve, it'll be without Rashford.
I think we've made this point before, that Jose made the point, you know, that he played 220 games by he was 21 or something ridiculous. And there is, we've seen it, Rooney, Owen, I think we've gone over, you know, but you can, I'm giving him a bit more defensively, but you can, like, see a player that is used so much when they're younger that they never, you know, it doesn't prolong their career for the better at the end. Quick question to you. I reckon we'd be lucky to get 60 for him. Ben?
I have no idea, to be honest. I mean, I suspect we probably would get more when you look at what the market looks like. I mean, he's well within a contract, isn't he? And, you know, he is obviously still a high profile player, an established international. You know, he scored a reasonable number of goals in what's, you know, widely considered to be the best league in Europe at least. And so it feels like he's going to be worth more than 60, but yeah,
straight swap for Harry Kane. Right, Nick, quickly,
just on that, yeah, you know, we'd get more for him because obviously he's a, you know, his contract's still for a few more years. But the guy's on $300,000 a week, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, somebody's got to compromise there. There's no club, I don't believe there's a club out there that's going to pay him the same sort of money that United are paying. So either Rashford's got to compromise or United have to compromise on the transfer.
Well, there's only one batshit. Is PSG, isn't it? For because they'll lose Mbappe, so they'll go. They want this figurehead, you know.
Yeah,
fits into that at least. It fit, but it's all sad. It's just sad that. Right, Nick, what are you doing on April the 14th?
Oh
God! You're supposed to sell this.
Thanks for that. I'm not sleeping properly at the thought of it. I'm doing the Manchester Marathon. Obviously we do the main campaign, don't we, for winter, but I just figured that it was nice to tie the two in together really for a quick fun, you know, spring fundraiser as well. So I've set up a Just Giving page yesterday.
It's in the new mag.
It'll be in the new mag, yeah. QR code.
And then I'll tweet it out and that. So good luck. And
which would be great. I'm not expecting, like, you know, people to donate loads and loads and loads, even if it's like 2 quid and stuff like that. I'll be absolutely made up, really. I genuinely really will do. I've set a little target, but every little helps.
Are you going to wear a costume, Nick, like an ostrich or something like that?
No, I'm not. No.
That'd be great, wouldn't it? That if we put in 50 quid, we choose your outfit.
The thing is, though, is that I'm not the greatest of runners, so I'd imagine that if anything, without unintentionally dressing up, I'm probably going to look like a Labour, yeah, running around that course. So you could say I'd maybe go in as him.
Nick, is any of it uphill?
Oh,
don't get him started on hills.
It's actually the world's flattest marathon, apparently, which I didn't know. Yeah, apparently pros come from all over the world to run it. So, but there is a bit in Altrincham that does go uphill. So, but I'll be well versed for that. Don't you worry about that.
Just please don't shit yourself or piss yourself, Nick, and don't, you know. Let's have some decorum for the Red News badge here.
I promise nothing.
Right.
I'll sponsor you extra if you shit yourself.
Right, I'm going to go on to the mag quickly and then just quick positives and hates. I will say I couldn't, it was Fulham, we'd lost. My mojo is, as you can tell, has taken a battering again, and Shane going on, and he clearly kept wanting to go on because he wants to go on next time he's on this about this morning and sex toys. I'm just not having it. And I'm just still not having it. Like Saltburn, I'm not having it. Right, so the mag. We've got the campaign. If you've ordered something and if you've subscribed, you'll be getting emails in about 3 weeks for the campaign. Please support us. We want another year. We need 425 subscribers to carry on. That's it. If we get that, we can carry on. If we don't, we can't carry on. It's just that simple. We've got the new... If you're a current subscriber for last year's campaign, you've still got 3 mags, which takes in Saturdays left. But we need to do the sub-campaign early because we have to know and secure the printer and everything that goes with it. So in the mag for Saturday, please, it's only on sale for 2 games. Thankfully, the lad who took the photo, the iconic photo, is a reader who buys off Nathan Kay, and he's let us use it. And then Finno's got to work for an ace cover. We've got the bullshit of modern football, which is 6 pages really ranting away. A few of us have written that. Then I've got my editorial on Old Trafford. And read it and let me know what you think. I've given my thoughts on what I think they should do. And I've gone into the history and looked back a bit. Then a lad who's met Bobby Charlton a number of times has written Dave. We've got Rads on the Liverpool Cup tie. We've got Jeremy, who sent that photo of the 1976 going out as a young five-year-old to cheer the 1976 team back to Manchester and written it up, and it's lovely. And then we've got a lad, we'd like, you know, we do serious topics. Please keep writing, send us letters, anything. And a lad who actually got off the United roller coaster because it was damaging him and himself, and he's written a quite moving story about why he gave up, which I'm really grateful for him to do that. Then we've got Carlo, then we've got Growler, as ever, thanks to Toe in the Water investigating the leeches. The 1990 Cup Run, please let the vibes, we've got another couple of mags, so let it coincide with us carrying on. Dave writing about 1990. We've got Sparky, we've got a certain Ben writing his 5-point rule, but he broke that in Forest. We've got Dan on what he hopes Ratcliffe can give us. We've got Anon on the membership scheme and how it's changed. We've got Ian McCartney writing about the Roger Byrne Memorial, which he did, which is outstanding. We've got Your Weird Things at Games Part 2, loads of letters. We've got a lad who's a young reader, who's makes the pilgrimage to Dublin and he's written about it, which is quite good, a unique angle. Then we've got James, who's working in New York, who's, Nick will love this, he's going NFL games instead of United games this season and he's written about the difference. Nick will have his cock out about that. We've got Gossip, read that about a certain topic we've been discussing all this. We've got Vinny, then we've got an exclusive extract of Alan Tung's book, and then we've got more stories about MUFC and family. We've got a tribute to the late Terry Stewart, mum's dear friend. We've got a fan camera checklist. We've got positives and negatives. We've got a great story about the Rome final and all sorts of mishaps by Tom. Thanks for the patience with that. And then we've got Pete Shaw. And please support the mag. Two games to buy this next one. And then we've got the April. So we've got three mags in 3 months, which becomes, like, in top of real world stuff, it becomes pretty knackering. So just, it's a fanzine. It's no more. We're amateurs. But just support if you can. Right. And thanks, Nick and Nathan, in advance for selling on Saturday, a daft early morning, but it's Nick's birthday, so we're going to have a few beers after, and I think we're looking forward to that as much. Please let the game be exciting. Please let us win. Please let us be entertaining. Please let's win the FA fucking Cup. Right, Ben, positive and or hate of the week?
It's also my birthday next Monday, but no.
Sorry, Ben. So I should know that for Cheltenham for your 30th.
Just a point of clarification as well, at Forest, I actually had 1 pint.
Wow.
I had 9 cans as well, but I had 1 pint. I wanted to clarify that. When you say positive, what are we talking about?
Fucking anything. The state we're in, fucking anything. The floodlights, the grass, the pitch at Old Trafford looks good, the grass looks nice, that's positive.
Yeah. Well, football-wise, I'm struggling on that one. I mean, the season is still alive for now, so that's about as much as I can give you, at least until the quarter-final. I've really got a hate of the week, more of a concern of the week.
Mm.
Noticing the fashions, when I was at Forest last week and in Newcastle before Christmas, you know, call me old-fashioned, but, you know, going to the match, polo shirt, jumper, jeans, trainers, but the amount of people now wearing tracky bottoms to go to the game, when did that become acceptable? And mullets everywhere and tashes. What is going on with the fashions at the moment?
We used to wear tracksuits. We had fucking shell suits for a phase, not just the Scousers, but that came in the late 80s.
You may have done, Barney, but normal people didn't wear shell suits.
Oh, there was a couple of abominations on the terraces in the late 80s, it has to be said.
Well,
yeah,
there's definitely a few knocking around now, if you look at it.
Look at the state of me in general. Right.
At least you haven't got a mullet.
I'd die for a mullet. What I'd give. Can I just say, my positive of the week is Monty Don's Spanish Gardens. How I've never made it to Seville. I've got to make it to Seville. But it showed this lovely area last week where the local council and the community are putting loads of plants and flowers out and the whole area is transformed. Where we've got, they're replacing the already shitty, shoddy lamppost lights with LED cheaper lampposts. We've got potholes all in the street. There's no flowers to be seen. There's no, like, and the blokes who came round to put these plastic shitty lampposts in. I've just put tarmac basically up to my neck height, and I've done such a bad job. I thought, I've never put a lamppost up. I could have done it better standard than that. And I looked at this Spanish blue sky as it was pissing down here, and I thought, oh, I want to be in Spain. So that was my love and hate of the week. Nathan?
Ironically, I was going to say that it's my enjoyable positive of the week is the fact that it feels like it's starting to be spring.
Ish.
You know?
Ish.
On Sunday, you know, before my day was ruined by United, I spent a few good hours at the allotment, and it was just T-shirt weather. Poggy would have been proud. There was no coats anywhere. It was lovely. So, yeah, I think, you know, we've got out of winter now. I say that now, you know, that come Saturday morning...
It'll be fucking freezing and I'll be in my long johns.
But, yeah, I don't think I've really got a hate of the week, to be fair. I mentioned before, I don't know if it's a hate, but it's a sad of the week. I was watching Hairy Bikers before, and it's new series, and that was really sad. Like, obviously, one of them passing away this week, but it was just, I don't know, maybe it's a getting older thing, and it's just getting to me now, but stuff like that, and, like, you know, watching the Gone Fishing and stuff, and it's just like, it's, you know, about life and stuff, as much as it's about cooking or fishing. But yeah, that watching that before, and obviously he clearly wasn't well when they were filming it, and it was quite sad, but it was quite nice at the same time. It was like, you know, so it's not really a hate or a sad or whatever, but it was nice. But
it's
sad.
It's profound, because if you're aliens, you'd say, you know, life is, it's short, it's with the one go at it, and, you know, we all want to do more than we do, and, you know, they'd go, why are you so angst-ridden, you know, about a football team, who cares a little bit about you, but that, there we ever go. But equally, like, I try not to let it get to me as once. I did.
How many times have we said that the football just gets in the way? No, I know.
But
we wouldn't be doing this right now if it wasn't for that. And, you know, come 3 o'clock on Saturday and we'll be sat in the Pev, like, regardless of what happens on the pitch, won't we? And
yeah.
Maybe that's what matters, really.
But equally, like, before I fucking kick this mortal coil, and also loving the United community and all the people I see, I want to have the pride, you know, that we feel with each other, and that kinship, something resembling that back. So the team feel it to us and we feel it to them. And I want to fucking win things again, selfishly. You know, like, we'll go and, like, someone went, you know, like, what, just give up? No, that's not what it's all about. And we'll always go. But equally, I want that, what's been missing over recent years. And it isn't the failures, it's the connection, you know, the club treating us like this, the players, you know, aloof. I want a connection again, and, like, everyone to feel a bit proud. Maybe it won't ever happen, but you can always dream. Anyway, Coggy?
Well, positive-wise, just to echo what Nathan was saying about spring, and your two red sellers, young red sellers, have produced some fantastic photos of lights of spring. Nathan in his allotment and that. And then Nick's wife, Eve, took a great photo of their trip to the lakes at the weekend, which actually was absolutely fantastic photo, Nick, so just thank her for that.
Old Alan Wicker here, fucking Coggy, he marches, yeah, you for trips, this lad. Jesus Christ, I think he has about 80 days holiday a year.
Oh, no, he does. He's always on holiday. I just can't believe it. my ace of the week is speed cameras. Do you know, the last four times I've been done speeding is going to watch United. Not fucking after the match, but going to the game. I mean, who in the right mind gets done for speeding to go and watch United? And the latest one came through from Luton away.
Are you addicted to those speed awareness courses or something? Have you found love at one of them and you want to keep going back to it?
Well, I'm a bit annoyed now, because you can only do one in every 3 years, and I don't think I qualify this time. I do like speed awareness courses. I think you can meet some very interesting people on that.
Fucking, can you take the team on a speed awareness course the way they fucking move? Right, Nick,
That's such a cocky answer, isn't it? I like speed awareness courses. I've never heard anything more ridiculous come out of that man's mouth. Positive. Positive that United aren't playing on my birthday, because we've got an atrocious record on my birthday, so that's good news. Do you know what annoyed me before was when we got the Liverpool Cup ticket email that came through, and I was suddenly in a queue to download my Liverpool FA Cup ticket. What was that about? Why was it in like a 15-minute queue to
why the game's in about 2 weeks? Why are you worrying about it tonight? Get Saturday out of the way.
Download your tickets. So I just clicked on it now.
I'll do it the day before, and if I don't get in, then that's probably a fucking godsend. Power to the people. I'm not having them tell me when I'm doing all this shit. Right, sorry, Nick.
I was going to say, you're still guilt tripping about the derby, but you just said then you're not bothered about going in.
I'm joking. I want to be there because JStan 99. I can still see the absolute bedlam and joy when that second went in. The absolute mentalness that day. So please, that. So sorry, Nick. What's your hate of the week?
It was one of the best ever, wasn't it?
Oh.
I'm not sure I can go for another 89 minutes of the Scousers being in front.
Obviously, it's the April mag is the big. Because we need more, you know, the Sheringham's going to go in, not a mag we've only got one game, the mag that we've got three or four games, so the 25, but 20, can you believe it's 25 years? Fuck me, where does time go? Right, sorry, Nick, what's your hate of the week?
No, it's just the ticket thing. I don't understand why you need to go to a queue.
And what's your love of the week?
That United aren't playing on my birthday.
What are your hopes for your birthday drink game day Saturday?
It's mine and Ben's. It's a joint.
Ah, look at that. Ben won't join us, though, because he just won't leave Chawton and Disbury.
I'm not coming out.
No, look at him, miserable bastard. Oh, right. I'm not joining you, heathens.
Ben can be bumped up to my hate of the week, then.
He never joins us for a pint. Boo.
I don't like going to town. It's too far.
Anywhere outside of Northern.
That's a really old answer, Ben, isn't it? You know you're old when you won't travel into town because it's too far. Right, I love you all. Come on, someone give us a bit of hope. Oh, Unana. We'll be singing that by the end of the song. Unana. No, everyone's looking tired, bored. Tuesday, fuck it. Oh, God. All right, to the regiment. Cheers, everyone.
To give you one little bit of hope. As I said in my column in the mag, I think the longer term future, potentially, don't want to get carried away, but it's starting to look a little bit brighter, isn't it, with the structure improvement and things like that. I think the short term is going to be a slog.
Short term pain for long term gain. No, there is. They're obviously, you know, they've had this. They've you know, like as we say, if Ratcliffe returned from his trip, you know, like his Mongolian trip last July back to sort this deal, you know, they've had 9 months to figure out as it went through the lawyers what we want to do, when we want to do it. And like, to this, we'll discuss this on and on. I don't think Eric will be part of that myself, but we shall see. But for years and years and years and years, get a football structure and we're getting one. So that let's go to bed on that note, shall we, lads? Cheers for this.
Cheers, lads.
See you later. Thanks a lot. See you Saturday. See ya.